Many have sung even this day that we long to see your face. And I say unto thee, saith the Lord, that yes, indeed you will see my face. For this is the day of the manifestation of my glory. As Moses longed to see my glory, even so you have longed to see my face, and I will reveal myself to you. Even as I have done in times past, but even a greater measure. For it is written that the glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the former. And I will reveal my face, and I will reveal my heart, and I will reveal my love, and I will reveal my wisdom. Yea, I will reveal my hand, and you will become a wonder. For you will take the glory of my face, and you will take it down from the mountain. And men shall see you, and they shall see my face upon you. They shall see my light upon you, and they shall see my glory upon you. And they shall be filled with wonder as well as with amazement, as they see my light shine forth from your face. Yes, the day of the revelation of my face, the day of the revelation of my grace, the day of the revelation of my mercy has come upon you. It is not afar off, saith the Spirit. Yea, the hour is now. Therefore, continue to draw nigh unto me with all your heart, as you have been doing. Continue to worship me with all of your heart. For it is written, I will inhabit the praise of my people, and I will inhabit that praise, and I will bring forth my light, and I will bring forth my life, and you will see my face, saith the Lord. Again, we thank you for your presence, manifest presence. We thank you for honoring us with your anointing and your presence. We're grateful. And allowing it to usher us into your word. We enter the word now, Father, with reverence. Recognizing our need for help. For who can fathom the depths of your wisdom except you help? And therefore I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, that I would speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. And I pray you put the same unction and anointing on the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this wisdom and word will flow freely from you through me to the people. Do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. Causing wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great measure, Lord, to follow and back these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, indeed, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that indeed I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed and said,
Amen.
Amen. This is the second Sunday of the year. Last Sunday, I spoke about the sweet odors of Esther. It was a powerful prophetic message about the sweetness of prayer through the fresh and increasing revelation of the mercy of God. When you pray with the mercy of God in great measure, the prayer becomes sweet because you see God in the sense of revelation, and then secondly, you triumph. The Bible says, it is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. And he says, I thank my God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ Jesus. The mercy of God causes us to triumph over judgment, causes us to go from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from victory to victory. However, there are things that can hinder the mercy of God. And I want to speak about them this afternoon as the Lord helps me. I've been preaching on many of these things for many years, but frankly, I have not seen the connection between them in the way the Lord has shown me. And I believe it will be of great benefit to every single one of us. There's a scripture, I'll turn to a scripture in a minute, but there's a scripture that just comes to me now that says, take heed to yourself. Another one says in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. I think very often we are not as aware of what is going on in our hearts as we should, because we do not take heed to those injunctions. It says, take heed to yourself. Guard your heart. It means that if you will obey that injunction under the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to see when your heart is going off course and quickly bring it back and correct it. Many times the hearts of men go off course for a long time, and then something disastrous and terrible has to happen before they're called to the attention of the state of their hearts. Of course, the classical example of this is David. David, a man after God's own heart, testified to by God himself. This was something David grew up with as a young boy. You know, going to the look after his father's sheep, you know, in the wilderness. He's a great kid, you know, looking after, faithful and honest, you know, and there in the wilderness, God revealed himself to him. He didn't reveal himself to him in the synagogue. Of course, he heard the word of God in the synagogue, but he was in the practical duties of life that he came to know God. He fought the lion, he fought the bear. Just a kid, can you imagine? A 16-year-old boy fighting lions and bears. You know, God really honored him and showed himself to him. But the tragic question to ask is, what in the world happened? How could a man of David's great heart condition, how could that heart so deteriorate to the point where he could go into lying, adultery, deception, and ultimately murder? And he was comfortable because he sat on the throne. And we're not talking about a 5-week period, we're talking about almost 9 months. Because Bathsheba had the baby, you know, shortly afterwards. And it was not until Nathan, his friend, the prophet, confronted him, that David finally, to use our expression today, came to his senses. But the question God is asking us is, do we want to leave it like David for as long as that? I got an encouraging word for us. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. So you'll be better than David. Did you hear me? Hello? I remember as a young Christian, David was, and still is, please don't misunderstand me, one of my great heroes in the Bible. But as I studied the scriptures and I prayed, and I began to see some of the flaws in David's life, I, particularly these ones, you know, I took heed, and I still do, to myself and said, ah, God, if this could happen to David, it can happen to anybody. Because David truly loved God. The Bible, God doesn't lie. If he didn't, God wouldn't say so. It says a man after God's own heart. There are few people in Scripture that are described like that, if any others. You know, the Bible calls Daniel beloved. It calls Joseph, you know, it doesn't even say Joseph was a man after God's own heart. It says David. What happened? That's what I want the Holy Spirit to help us to reveal to us this afternoon. I've entitled it Overcoming Dishonesty, Unbelief, and Rebellion. Like I said, I did not understand, as I do now, as I do better now, that there was a link. One leads to the other. The first port of call is dishonesty. Dishonesty always causes... Bamisha, keep playing that thing. And just record it, you know, and then you can go and sit down and you can keep playing itself. You know, dishonesty always causes a withdrawal of the mercy and the light of God from the heart. Then the heart now is in darkness. And then you can't even do what the scripture says. It says take it to yourself because there's darkness. You can't see what's going on. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is a classic scripture that God gave to the Apostle Paul. I believe this is one of the most important scriptures in the New Testament because it reveals the state of the human heart and God's attempt, if I can use that expression, or God's attempt to reach out to man, and how that attempt fails sometimes because of man's dishonesty of his heart. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 18. We're reading King James. I'll tell you when to switch to any other translations I feel might be appropriate. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Give this to me in the Amplified Bible. For God's holy wrath and indignation. I think the word indignation is even stronger than wrath. God is angry, of course. You know, but indignation means, you know, God is really disappointed. You know, when you're indignant about something, you can see that indignation in the story of Noah. Where the Bible says, and God looked, and you know, it was as if, in a sense, even though God was ready for it, because he had made the plan, you know, of redemption before man was ever created, and he knew it could happen, when it was actually happening before his eyes, he was indignant, he was sad, can it be this bad? The Bible says that the thinking of men was only continually evil. And he said this. He says, and it repented God. That's a very serious thing. That he had made man. And his scripture, I haven't looked at that scripture this morning, but it's in my heart. You know, if they put it on the board, you'll see it. You know, I said, and it grieved his heart. Let's say it in Yoruba. Odunogun. Now, one thing we need to realize, and I've, over the years, I've sought to develop this in my relationship with God, is that God is a person. I'm a person for revelation knowledge and principles and formulae, if you like, you know, and laws. I understand that. I understand God operates by laws. But even all of those laws emanate from a person. God is a person with feelings. We're made in his image and likeness. When something hurts you, you know how it feels in your heart. When it grieves in your heart. Same thing with God. And the thing, he said, I will destroy man. Let's just stop this whole mess. But thank God, Noah found grace. At least there was one man. At least amongst the only God knows how many millions on the earth at that time, or hundreds of thousands. We don't have a population census at that time. But, you know, a significant number of men. I'm sure, probably in the millions. You know, probably the low millions, but at least in the millions. You know, and God couldn't find. Can you imagine? It's sad to say that even today, the situation is not too much different. It is different because we're here. And there's a significant number of us. And that's why we're preaching messages like this. You don't hear this kind of messages often, you know. You know, that go down at the heart level. You know, we hear a lot of braggado and a lot of cliches. But God is a God who deals with the heart. I've come to see that. He's not too interested in all the outward show. He's looking at the heart. And he's looking for people whose hearts are right with him. So, we see God being indignant. You know, thank God Noah found grace. Just one man. Can you imagine? Just one man. Out of only God knows how many hundreds of thousands and millions. But at least he was able to save the day. And today too, relatively, you have to look at percentages. You find that probably the number of people on the earth who are really in their heart, they're not that many. And the great majority, in fact, the wickedness of our times, you know, I believe begins to match up with the wickedness of Noah's times. Men are so, you know, there's one scripture, I'm not going to go there. I just hit it running, you know. It says, disobedient to parents, unholy, unthankful. You know, it's in the same Romans towards the end. You know, if you look at today, if you look at people today, you will see that many people are just like that. They don't have any patience. Any little thing, they complain, murmurers, complainers. You know, they despisers of those that are good. They don't like, you know, they anything correction, anything authority, anything God, hatred. It's terrible. But going back to David, what happened? Let's go back to, for God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness repress. This is very powerful, and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. Let's take something away from that. You know what's telling me that? God is making an attempt through his truth to help them. But their attitude is making the truth inoperative. Can you imagine? Because the revealer and the custodian of truth is God himself. And you can see God is trying to do something. And their response at the heart level is hindering what God is trying to do. Next verse. Keeping the Amplified. For that which is known about God is evident. This is a great indictment. To them, God is evident to them and made plain. Where? In their inner consciousness. Do you know that? Don't let anybody fool you. They know. Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, how do you know that there is God? Oh, you know, the scientific evidence shows that, you know, we have evolution and that things just evolve. It's all lies. He says it's evident. He said God has made it plain. Something that is plain is plain. In other words, it's so clear. The only thing that can deny it is dishonesty. Plain in their what? Inner consciousness, because God himself, so that's why I said God was making an attempt, has shown it to them. This battle has been going on since the Garden of Eden. You know, God is such a kind and a loving person. He made us for his pleasure. He made us in his image. This God is not an irresponsible creator. He just made us and put us on one planet somewhere and just left us alone. No. So even after our fall, even after Adam sinned, God didn't leave us to ourselves. He comes back and talks to us, you know, and shows himself and reveals himself and wants to help us. But alas, alas, so many men do not respond to this. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power, I didn't hear you, and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that are made, his handiworks. So men are without excuse altogether, without any defense or justification. At judgment day will be great. This is written by a lawyer, a guy who sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He is one of the most erudite, great lawyers of his time in the natural. This is before he became a Christian. So when he now got born again and got revelation, God got him to write this thing in a legal manner. So that they are all together without any defense or justification. Nobody can stand before God and say, I didn't know. You know what? The heavens above are evidence against you. The heavens declare the glory of God. Your body that you have is evidence against you that there is God. Amen? You know, there's this argument. You know, I'm a scientist by training. I did my first degree in physics, and I did electrical engineering, and then I came back to physics. And, you know, I, by the mercy and the grace of God, have some degree of intellectual ability. You know, as a young man, I thought about these things. I still do, you know. But as a young man, I came to a conclusion. At that time, I didn't know God. And I didn't get born again immediately. I got born again later. But I came to this conclusion. And any honest scientist, or any honest human being for that matter, must of necessity come to the same conclusion. Let's for sake of argument, say we don't understand. We don't know where everything came from. Maybe one cell evolved. Let's just for sake of argument, let's just say, okay, yes, you know, it was one little tiny thing that happened somewhere, and it's there. Where did that tiny thing come from? There is no way. When you the argument is cyclical. When you think about it, you must still come back to an origin. Where it evolved. Okay, there was a big bang. Okay, there was this. Where did it come from? Where did the bang come from? Where did the cell come from? Where did it come from? Who told it to divide? What? Who gave it the instruction to evolve? What made it? Like they say, you know, in the scientific world, in the biological world, you know, make intelligent choices. They say, you know, it evolves, and then, you know, you have the survival of the fittest, and it will just adapt to its environment, and that's what make one species die and make another. Let's even assume they are right. Who told it to do it? Don't you see there's a lie in your right hand? there is a lie in your right hand. For those of us who study a little bit about artificial intelligence and robotics and all of that, we know that anything that goes in a series of steps and takes decisions here and there was programmed by a programmer. Of course, the zygote in a woman's womb, you know, the sperm goes and fertilizes the egg. It stays there, gets attached to the uterus wall, then just starts dividing. Then one part just goes and becomes the head. Then another one becomes the heart. Then another one goes and starts becoming the leg. That's a program, silly. Don't be stupid. That's a program. And every program must have a QED. End of story. No matter how you take that argument, you will come back to God. For you to deny the existence of a God at the beginning of life is to be dishonest. That is what Paul is saying. Next verse. Because when they knew God, so it's not as if they didn't know, and recognized him as God. Stop, folks. Where is all this taking place? Thank you. Where did they know God? Where did they recognize God? Paul says it in a different way. You know, his heart is right. He says, in their inner consciousness. That's what we read in the other verse. Amen? So, right here, all this is not taking place in a debate between two human beings. It's taking place at the heart level between God and a person, each human being. When they knew God and recognized him, they actually recognized him as God. They did not honor. This is a deliberate act of the will. Or, and glorify him as God, or give him thanks. But instead, this was their choice. But instead, they became futile and godless in their thinking with vain imaginations, the kind of which I was talking to you about earlier on, foolish reasoning, stupid speculations, and their senseless minds were darkened. Stop. It means it was originally enlightened. It does not become darkened if it was not originally enlightened. This is the true light that lighteth, except Olubi and except the guy who was born in Africa and the missionaries had not yet come to tell them. Nobody has an excuse. Nobody. That's why Paul, the great apostle, you know what he says? He says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. Baba Paul. Say you didn't know. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? You know who you are fooling? Yourself. Can't fool God. You're fooling yourself. Of course you know. You just chose to do as if you didn't hear. Just chose to ignore. That's inconvenient for me. You know, it's easier for me to believe that there is no God, so I can live the way I want. To go back into this, because it's going to get there in a minute. I may not get there, but it's going to get, if you study this thing, it goes there. You know, the next thing that comes out of this is homosexuality. You know why? It is so much against nature that you have to be blatantly dishonest to deny it. You know? And God's like, yeah. Every guy like, it's clear, even the anatomy is against it. These are serious issues. But how does this concern us as Christians? Some say, well, all these unbelievers, you know, they're not born again. Well, you cut that same attitude into Christianity. And you look at the clear, blatant word of God and deny it. Overcoming dishonesty, unbelief, and rebellion. This is what the Lord told me. He said, the human heart, when you get to this condition, he says, and was darkened. That's where I wanted to get to. There was light before. So God now withdraws the light. Because, remember I said God was making an attempt. So God brought the light into their inner consciousness, revealed his hand in creation, the kind of thinking I just told you. You know, you come to that conclusion. When you begin to come to honest conclusions, and then you, in your heart, you begin to acknowledge, well, there must be God somewhere. Even though I don't know him, I'm not born again. You know, you won't say it like that, but you say, well, even though I don't know God, but at least there must be. You know, a person who says that in the heart, you know what they've just done? They've just acknowledged. Instead of darkness, they're going to get more light. But there must be. There must be somebody who created all of these things. Even though I don't understand. I'm giving you the kind of thing that went through my mind as a young man. You know, I don't understand why there's so many people dying in Ethiopia and children are, you know, and there's disease and there's so much evil in the world. But that does not do away with the fact that there must be a creator. So he must be somewhere out there. And you may not even call it a prayer. It's just an acknowledgement, an honesty of the thought at the heart level. When immediately God sees that, he starts working. This one, when I move in his circumstances and I move in his environment, and I begin to bring light to him, he will accept it. The other one, whose heart is darkened, that's where the problem begins. Once the heart gets darkened, it hasn't got light. When it doesn't have light, it now begins to deny what is obvious, because it does not have light. Switch off all the lights inside this auditorium. Please don't do it. All the lights in this auditorium, you know, just a thought experiment. Maybe it's night and you're here, maybe for the service, and suddenly the lights go off. Everything becomes pitch dark. So you can't even see. You know, you're not allowed to put on your mobile phone, okay? You can't see anything. Do you know what's going to happen? There are five microphones in front of the choir there. You won't see them. They're there. But because there is darkness, you won't see them. If you get up from your seat and you want to go to the bathroom, it's very likely you're going to hit your leg against this thing here. And then by the time you get to the stairs, you won't even know the stairs are there. You begin to stumble. You begin to make all kinds of hurt yourself. And make all kinds of, you know why? No light. That's how it is in the heart. When there is no light, you can't see anything. So when even truth is staring at you, the five microphones are here. They are here. They're not trying to be here. We're not believing God for them to be there. They are here. But you can't see it, because there is no light. The next thing it leads to is unbelief. There is no God. I don't believe in God. God is a cloud, a universal mind, and all the other funny things we have all heard. The unbelief is a result of the darkness. You know the next thing? Rebellion. You know why? When God now says to do something, the grace and the power it takes to do that thing comes from the life and the light that is inside the mind. Because there is no light, because there is no life, it cannot do what God said. So you know what? It changes what God said to what he likes. It's called rebellion. He now has his own interpretation of what God said that will be convenient for the level of his own heart. Paul said it another way, another gospel. You know, this is what happened to Saul, using Saul as a type. The Bible says, you know, God told him to go and kill the Amalekites. He did it. But God said, kill everything. He didn't say, you know, then he left some to sacrifice to God. His heart changed at the heart level. He had changed God's commandment to what was suitable to him. That's what happens with rebellion. When the heart doesn't have enough light and enough grace, it will now lower the standard. It will now bring it to a standard that is convenient for that heart and say that is the truth. So, it begins with dishonesty. I would say dishonesty, unbelief, rebellion. There's a fourth one. I didn't mention it at the title, but I will tell you what it is. It's stubbornness. Because that is what is convenient for it. When you're not trailing any other thing that's different from that, it will stubbornly refuse to accept it because it wants to stay comfortable with what its own heart level has revealed to it. The will becomes stubborn. I didn't realize. God told me, he said, one works after the other, but the root is dishonesty. Dishonesty, unbelief, rebellion, stubbornness. And you know, if you look at the evolution, I use the word evolution in the correct way, just means change. If you look at the evolution of Saul's heart, we'll get to David in a minute. That's what happened. You know, Saul was originally a very humble person. How many people know that? That's why he was chosen. He was so humble that when they tried to choose him as king, he went to hide. He was hiding among the hay. They had to cast lots. Then they went to go and look for him, and then they now brought him out. That was the kind of heart he had. But over time, because he did not take heed to his heart deteriorated to the point where he now got into dishonesty, unbelief, into rebellion, you know, and stubbornness. So when God was going to talk about him, look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel, I think it's verse 23. 1 Samuel, this is a very revealing scripture. It says, for rebellion, go a verse on top, 22. Okay, now he did part of what God told him to do, but he did not do the other part because it was not convenient for the level of his heart, of the honesty of his heart. So God now told him, he said, look, to obey, this is you're telling me that you're sacrificing these animals to me is not going to impress me. This is Olubi's translation. It's not going to impress me. You can't bribe me. You cannot bribe me with goats and all of these things. I told you, I gave you a specific command. Go and kill all of the things. Don't spare anything. It is out of that. This is God talking now, not Samuel. This is God talking through Samuel, but it is God who is talking. Verse 23. He says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stop! I want to bring something out. This is a great truth. I preached it some years ago. For those of you who've been following with us, you can always Google it in our, do a search on our website, you'll get it. You know, I talked about passive rebellion and active rebellion. Passive witchcraft and active witchcraft. Now, what's God saying here? He said rebellion. He didn't say it's witchcraft. He says is as. Now, let's go to ordinary witchcraft. When people get involved in witchcraft, what do? They go to a wizard or a witch.
and they want them to do something for them, either to get them some money or to kill their enemy or something. So they go and consult the witch or the whoever, you know, that they want to do the thing for them, and tell them what they want. And those ones will now make a demand. They'll give them some money or some sacrifice and all of that. Then those ones will now do some incantation, some demonic kind of thing, to release a spiritual force to go and get that thing done. That is active witchcraft. But this one, when you now get into rebellion and you now accept what is not the word of God as the word of God, you know who will back you? Satan. Then he begins to release spiritual forces that will make the thing work, even though it's not the will of God. And we've seen this in the distorted prosperity message. The Bible doesn't say we won't prosper, but it says even as your soul. Now, you take away as your soul part, ditch it, because it's not convenient for your soul. And take only the prosper part. What you got there is rebellion. Now, if you stay with it, you know, then Satan will now add his power to that rebellion and make it work. So it becomes as witchcraft. Stubbornness as idolatry. What is an idolatry? Let's take it again. Natural, normal idolatry. Maybe you have a god, you carve some image, and then you go and start bowing to the god and worshipping it. What happens? Evil spirits, we occupy that graven image and they will speak through it. Yoruba people know this. You know, I always laugh when the white man says there is no God. You know, that's not about the African. The African may not know that there is God, but he certainly knows that there is a devil. Any African will say, you don't believe, come with my village. We will show you. Are you listening to me? Oh yes, there are all kinds of funny things. They talk. Demons, they speak through inanimate objects. Hello, Shigidi. Maybe you have heard of that before. Don't worry your head. it's a real devil. The thing is inanimate. It's just a piece of wood, but he will speak through it. Amen. The Satan becomes active. He said the things which the Gentiles sacrifice. He said they sacrifice not unto God but unto devils. So stubbornness becomes like idolatry. That heart now becomes a throne. Through which the enemy can speak and operate. That is why, and this message is so important for the beginning of the year. I'll be closing in a few minutes. That is why you don't even want to go there. Jesus said something very interesting. He said, talking about the end time, and we're in the end time now. This has always been true, but it's particularly true of the end time. You know, he said, be very careful. This Olubi's translation, you know, just put a spin on it. You know, he said, be very careful. He said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. He said, for many in that day will say to me, we have cast out devils. We have done great and mighty miracles in your name. Then he will turn around and say, depart from me, ye workers of... What did Saul say there? What stubbornness? And idolatry. The stubbornness of their heart made a gateway for the enemy to come in and do miracles. And even though the miracles are there, you see, it's not everything that's supernatural as God. Hello, somebody.
very naive Christians think that if it's supernatural, if it shines, if it shakes, you know, and it does something, it has to be God. No, 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 no. That's why God wants to, he loves us so much. He's taking us to a great place. And he wants only a pure heart. So we got dishonesty. I would say dishonesty. Unbelief. Rebellion. And stubbornness. The one leads, they're connected in a chain. One leads to the other. One leads to the other. So as a Christian, in 2017, the title of my message is Overcoming Dishonesty, Overcoming Unbelief, Overcoming Rebellion. The greatest way to believe God is to look at some natural equivalent of what God is doing in the realm of the spirit and accept it. That is why unbelief is a result of darkness. Look at the centurion. The centurion does not have a Bible. He's not a Jew. He doesn't go to the synagogue. He's not even a proselyte. He's just a nice man, a good man, who built a synagogue for the Jews. His servant is sick. He has heard about this rabbi from Nazareth who is healing people. He does something strange. He doesn't go to Jesus directly. He sends the elders of the synagogue that he built for them to Jesus and says that Jesus should heal his servant. Then his elder said, he said, I am not worthy that you should come. You don't even have to come to my house. He now uses something from the natural. Something from the natural. Because you know why? He had light in his mind. Because he's an honest man. That was why he could have that faith. It was the light that the Holy Spirit, he didn't know the Holy Spirit like we know, but the light of God in his mind. He said, for I also am a man under authority. And I have soldiers under me. And I said to this one, go, and he goes. And I said to this one, come, and he comes. He said, you don't have to come to my house. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He took it directly from the Roman government. But there was light on it, because what he said was true. He knows that the reasons why the soldiers obeyed him was because of the emperor. So he knows that the reasons why the sickness will obey Jesus is because of the higher God on top of Jesus. You know what Jesus said? I have not found so great faith. And Jesus doesn't lie. Neither does he exaggerate. He said, no, not in Israel. How would a Gentile unbeliever have a greater perception of spiritual realities than people who go to church every Sunday or synagogue every Saturday? Honesty. He was honest, so there was light. The other guys are dishonest, so there is no light. When there is no light, you get unbelief. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Don't worry, I'm going to help you. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But you know, you don't just jump there. That's why I'm taking it step by step. How did it become like that? It was not originally like that. The human heart, when it undergoes a kind of free fall in dishonesty, it begins to deteriorate. And then it comes to this condition. The heart is deceitful about, it becomes your mind and your heart begins to tell you lies and you bite. But this condition got there through dishonesty, lack of light, rebellion, stubbornness, above, and is desperately wicked. Now he asks a rhetorical question, which is a very powerful one. Who can know it? The good news is God can know it. Hallelujah!
I said God can know it. And I'm going to go a step further and God can change it. Give the Lord a clap offering. So there is hope. What God is telling us is this. Without God, you're in big trouble. Without God, you're in big trouble. You're already trapped by the deceitfulness of your own heart. So you're going to need God to come and pull you out. Are you listening to me? That's where we need God. That's why we preach. That's why we pray. The Bible says the gospel is hid from those whose minds are blinded, whom the God of this world. When we pray, we break that thing, and then we allow the light to shine back. Then the person is convicted. And then repentance starts taking place. That's why we are saviors from Mount Zion. That's why God has to use us as legal avenues in the earth through which light break the yoke of deceit, break the yoke of darkness so people can see the light again. They got it before, they lost it. Now, for us as Christians, for us to make progress and to be what all God wants us to be, we must, and this is not optional, it is a must, exercise our hearts. We already have the light to some degree. Now, you can have light in one area and not have light in another area. The degree to which you have light, you must continue to exercise your heart in honesty of heart. Tell the truth to yourself in your heart. That's what Paul meant when he says, take heed to thyself. That's what Proverbs meant when he says, keep your heart with all diligence. Do not mortgage the honesty of your heart for any human convenience or gain material gain or profit. Don't do it. Constantly exercise yourself. And this is what's going to happen. Proverbs 28 verse 13. This is the year of the fullness of the mercy of God. He that covereth, I didn't hear you, his sins shall not prosper. Turn to your neighbor. You say, do you know what that means? He that is dishonest about it, you say, can't prosper. It's very interesting and revealing that even the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ is tied to honesty. One says, no honesty can't work. He says, if we confess our sins, he says, if we say we have no sins, then we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not operative, I'm putting my own words in there, in us. He said, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not, he says, we make him a liar. And the truth is not in us. His word is not in us. The whole thing is tied to honesty. If you got up late and you couldn't pray, God, I got up late and I couldn't pray. Hello? Lord, I was tired. Lord, I was lazy. Lord, I'm stubborn. Lord, I'm rebellious. Help me! Once honesty comes in, there's salvation. But to look at it in the face and deny it. And I say, it's Pastor Olubi's fault for preaching that strong message. You more like church in here. Make me feel condemned. And it's not Pastor Olubi's fault. It's your heart. Akuku don't know what's going on with you. Kuku, was I with you in the morning? Hello? Am I talking to anybody here? I did not know I was, I was not with you when I was praying in my house. And the Holy Ghost brought the message. Hello? Don't fight me. I'm not your problem. You are your problem. Lord, I don't like truth. It makes it too hard for my heart. Oh Lord, have mercy, help me. Mm-hmm. We're making progress. We're making progress. You must speak the truth to yourself in your heart. I gave this example recently about Abimelech. He didn't know. Now, of course, it's always wrong to even take many wives anyway. But that was back in the Old Testament. He didn't know Abraham. He didn't know that Sarah was Abraham's wife. He thought it was his sister. Because that's what Abraham said. Which was a half-truth. You understand? And you go and read that scripture. It's in Genesis chapter 20. It's very interesting evolution. Genesis 17 is where God appears to Abraham. He's 99 years old. He circumcises him and tells him, you're going to have a child. Abraham laughs. Sarah too laughs. Chapter 18, he comes again. You know, Sarah laughed. He said, you laughed. I didn't laugh. God said, you laughed. You know, God is very kind. You know, and just waved over it. You know, and she conceived. She started getting younger. It is from there we go. Genesis 19 is Sodom and Gomorrah, destruction. Genesis 20. So Genesis 20, Sarah has started getting younger. Who is going to put a 90-year-old woman in a harem? Not only was she younger, she was looking beautiful. That's what attracted her to Abimelech. Obviously. That tells you the Bible is a wonderful book. Hallelujah. Oh, daughters of Sarah, you're going to start looking younger. Like my wife, you know, we went somewhere on Friday. This is a true story. And one of my friends, I haven't seen him for many years. You know, we're all parties in university and all that. You know, he was good. But I said, what are you doing? You're looking so young. I said, Sarah Lunjebe. I said that in my heart. I said, they don't understand age reversal. It's working. You know? The Bible says, look to Abraham, Sarah, the rock from whence you were hewn. Every Christian can claim the heritage of Abraham and Sarah. A time will come in your life where the life of God will be made manifest in your mortal flesh. And instead of getting older, you start getting younger. He that can receive him, let him receive it. Hallelujah. This guy sees this fine 90-year-old woman who obviously will be looking about 35. Kilo Letoi. Abraham, sister, you go bad. Puts her inside the harem. Of course, he didn't put her in the harem for decoration. He put her there for a purpose. Amen. But something happens that night. It just doesn't occur to Abimelech to go into her. It's very unusual. For a man of those times. You understand? God tells us what happened. He said, I know you didn't know. Honesty is important too. God said, I know you did not know. He said, God, he told me it's his sister. God, I know you did not know. Therefore, I, not you. I kept you. I withheld you from sinning against me. You know what happened with Abimelech? Patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Everything just came from the air, gas. On the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the body, and everything. The man didn't even think about Sarah that night. Because God's mercy was in operation. When you begin to operate the mercy of God, that will not happen to you once in a while. It will happen to you daily. Mercy will cause you to triumph over the flesh. It will cause you to triumph over whatever. Hallelujah. The mercy of God will be superimposed on your running and your willing, and you will prevail. You will suddenly start having more self-control. You will suddenly start having more gentleness and patience. Covetousness will disappear. Am I talking to anybody here? But it all comes from honesty. And God testified of that man. Unbeliever. He said, I know you did not know. And you did it in the integrity. That's honesty of your heart. An unbeliever. Turn to your neighbor and say, I will preserve the integrity of my heart. correction, I will increase the integrity. That's how to overcome these things. Oh. Many of us don't tell ourselves the truth. To many of us, integrity is like a curse word. How many times have you heard a seminar on integrity and the place was full? Yeah. 2017 convention. Integrity of heart. Qu'il avait integrity. J'ai got a journey. That's why the church is dying. Amazing. 2/3 shall be cut off and die. Why? Is it God is so terrible? He wants to kill 2/3 of his people? No. 2/3 without integrity. 2/3 without honesty. 2/3 after they have seen the truth, heard the truth. You, light has come of stubbornness, rebellion. My own way is the way I will stay because my own way is comfortable for me. Don't mind that pastor. Whereas it's black and white in the Bible. I want to help some people here. Hallelujah. So, if we confess and forsake, here we go. Am I talking to anybody? Proverbs 28. Where are you? Verse 13. It's an amazing scripture. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth shall have mercy. Just left something out. Forsake. That's a very good example of rebellion. I did it deliberately. The scripture did not say, he that confesseth shall receive mercy. He said, he that confesseth and forsaketh. To leave the forsaketh out is disobedience, is dishonesty. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? To leave the forsake out deliberately is dishonesty. And it cuts off the mercy. The condition is a twofold, is an AND gate. Those of us in electronics. You have to have the two of them there, the two signals. There, it must be a confession and forsake. What does it mean? Confess means, I confess that it happened. Number two, forsake means I now determine in my heart that God will have mercy on me and will help me that this will not continue in my life. I now make up my mind that this is something I'm going to walk away from. Doesn't mean you overcome it overnight, everything. But once God sees that forsaking and he sees the constant effort, for a just man falls 7 times but rise again. If he's dishonest, he will not rise again after the 2nd time. It's the honesty that makes him rise again. God, I've told you I'm going to stop this thing. Help me. Fall, help me. Fall, help me. Fall, help me. He keeps exercising the heart. You know what's going to happen? Mercy will prevail. James chapter 2 verse 13. Am I helping anybody? James, this is a great message to start the new year with. James chapter 2 verse 13. Hallelujah. Give it to me, New International Version. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy, I said mercy, mercy triumphs over judgment. But the link is Proverbs. That's why this book is here a little, there a little. You can't really understand James 2:13 if you don't understand Proverbs 28:13. He that confess and forsake shall receive mercy. It is that mercy that he receives by confessing and forsaking that causes him to triumph over judgment. David was merciful to Saul when he had Saul in his hands to kill him. He didn't. He said, I can't do this. His heart, yeah, David, God will have mercy on us. God will have mercy on us. Even he just cut the skirt, the material from Saul's skirt. He said his heart pricked him. May your heart prick you. When you're doing something that is not right, if your heart is in a place where you're in a good place, maintain it. He said his heart pricked him. He said, how can I do this to my master? He said, for he's the Lord's anointed. He said, there's nobody who will touch him and that he will be free. He said, no. I must not do this. And he didn't. You know, 3 times. So God wanted to be sure whether it was fake or not. In the matter of 2 or 3, let every word be established. You know, if it just happened once, maybe it's just, he did it again. So he established with God that his heart was in an honest place. So later on, 20, 30 years down the road, Absalom is grown. Absalom does his own rebellion and wants to kill Saul, wants to kill David. It was then mercy spoke. Mercy spoke. Judgment. Mercy triumphed over judgment. Correct thing for to happen was for David to have died because he killed a man. Uriah the Hittite. He murdered somebody. You know why Ahithophel? Joined the rebellion? You need to read your Bible deeply. Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. Ahithophel is Bathsheba's... Go and check the genealogy. Is Bathsheba's grandfather. And he saw David as Agbaya. Those of you who are not Yoruba people. That is old and big for nothing. Omonue. Utukpokoe. Look. I don't justify Ahithophel. And I certainly don't agree what he did was wrong. And he could have overcome it. And I'll tell you how he could have overcome it. But from a natural... He was acting like a mere man. But from a natural point of view, he was disgusted with what David did. How can you... You and I are the same, you know, at the same level. Let's say David wasn't a kid. He was in his late 50s, probably early 60s. He wasn't a kid. You know, see a small girl having a bath. Then you go and sleep with her. Then kill the husband. When Ahithophel heard, he said, all right. So when Absalom rebelled, the first conscript. And it was Ahithophel who gave him the right counsel. He said, let me go after him. He said, I will kill the king alone. He had vengeance in his heart. Let me deal with this silly David. Misbehaving all over the whole place. But mercy spoke. Mercy triumphed. Uriah, one of the Hittites, one of David's friends. That one said, David said, come, you know, we'll go with me. David said, no, you stay. You work with Absalom. Let him think you're on his side. You know? And he said, you'll be more useful to me there. The man agreed. So when Absalom came, he said, is this how you reward your friend? He said, as I serve the father, so I will serve the son. He said, no problem. He said, okay, let's have a meeting. This guy gave his counsel, Ahithophel, correct counsel. But this guy said, don't do that. You know, the father is a warrior. If you go to him, Nani, you'll be in some cave somewhere. You'll be able to get him. Said, let us gather Israel together. Then we'll be strong in number. Then we'll now go and we'll finish them. Ahithophel, David had prayed that God would turn the counsel of Ahithophel. He turned it. Mercy spoke. It triumphed over judgment. And that mercy, that was what saved it. By correct judgment, David should have died. That's the correct judgment. David should have died. The correct judgment in all your life, maybe you will die, but you will not die. Hallelujah! Mercy! You may have done some bad things. You may have done some wrong things. But if you be honest about it, mercy will triumph over judgment. Don't stay in your pit. Ahithophel allowed bitterness in his heart. You know what he should have done? If I was going to do a quiz, I'll just say, how many people could tell me what? You know what Ahithophel should have done? He should have gone to David like Nathan. We are friends. And I know you are anointed of God and you're a man of God. What you did was a mess. And they would have settled it amongst themselves. The sin of a man of God is no excuse for your own rebellion. God will not justify it. Even though Ahithophel had a point, but because he went in rebellion against divine authority, he wound up in hell. You know how Ahithophel died? He hung himself. A man who had been walking with God, a man who goes to the synagogue every Sunday with David, very close to David. He didn't go to, he went to hell. Don't allow bitterness in your heart. If somebody does something and you really feel bad, go and talk about it. Be like Nathan. You know, Nathan too hated what David did. But Nathan never joined the rebellion. He stayed faithful with David in spite of David. He stayed on the right side of God. So, in 2016-17, Acts 24, we close. My last scripture. Acts 24, verse 16. Let this be your signature scripture, or one of them, for 2017. Everybody say, and herein will I throughout 2017 and beyond exercise myself to have always. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's always, not sometimes. You know, there are many things you cannot do always in the physical, you know, as far as doing is concerned. But there's something you can always do in your heart. Because it's at the heart level. Amen? You may not be able to do everything always physically, but you can always do this because it has to do with the heart. To have always a conscience void of offense toward God and man. Let us pray. Talk to God. Overcoming unbelief. Dishonesty. Unbelief, rebellion, stubborn. This is how, and they're all joined together. And they get stronger and stronger the less and less you exercise yourself in honesty. It's like I don't know how I can describe it. You know, I have a vision in my heart. You know, it's like something that solidifies. When initially soft. If you quickly do something about it, you can still malleable. But if you leave it for some time, it becomes solid. Then it stays like that. Then it stays like that. That's why you need to do something about it quickly. Stand to your feet. The heart is a very delicate thing with God. And I learned this from all these examples I gave you about David and all these guys. You know, that thing can just... So you need to watch it. Once you see the thing, quickly correct it. Because if it gets hardened, it becomes more and more difficult to change. What would make Saul go to a witch? Anointed of God. Chosen of God. It was Saul who gave a decree that they should remove all the witches from the land. The same Saul. So he hated witchcraft. He knew it was wrong. But the heart got harder and harder and harder and harder when he was in trouble. And God did not speak to him by Urim or Thurim. He did not speak to him by dreams. He did not speak to him by prophets. The same Saul consulted a witch. Don't allow your heart to be hardened. Once you see it, quickly correct it. Once you see it, quickly correct it. Once you see it, quickly correct it. Don't be like David. David is not a good example here. The minute you start, I don't feel like going to prayer. When the time for King's battle, okay, I'm feeling weak. I will still go, even if I'm going to sit at the back. And I don't have enough strength. It's better. And for him to go and put himself in the place of temptation. And Satan set him up. Let me tell you what Satan's intention was. Kill him completely. And destroy the line of the Christ. You know, it was not only David who heard that prophecy. Satan heard it. So he searched for the precious life. He began to stalk him over the years. Say, how can I get this guy? Because if I finish him, then I finish that line. But thank God mercy spoke. I said mercy spoke. I said mercy spoke. Oh, I want to thank God for a man called Nathan. Give Nathan a clap of it. A faithful friend who can find. Nathan stood solidly with David. David was wrong. He told him the truth. And then after he told him, say, you will live, you will not die. Say, you will be chastened. You will suffer a lot. But I'm here. Till the end of David's life. That man, I want to see what God is going to give him when we get to heaven. Next time you have a child, name him Nathan. It's a great name. Nathan. When they planned rebellion against Solomon, it was Nathan. Quickly went to Bathsheba and said, "Atmelo, they are planning to finish you and your son. Has David, is my Lord, heard?" He said, no. He said, come. Okay, you go first. Go and tell David. Then I will come and I will confirm. And saved the dynasty. And saved the throne. Will God forget Nathan? Never. May God surround you with Nathans. Who will stand by you, even when everybody is against you. David thought his life was over. Nathan said, no, don't worry. What you did was bad, but we'll help you. Hallelujah. What a way to start a new year. Start it with honesty. Watch that heart. Every day when you wake up, check your heart. No, don't pray first. Check your heart. You will pray, but the first thing to do is check the heart. Check the heart. Then once you sorted the heart issues out, then start praying. If you pray with a wrong heart, it's not going to work. Or, correction, it will not be as effective. So we want to start the new year with the Holy Spirit. Everybody talk to God. Talk to God. Say, Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Help me to be better than David in this regard. Help me. Help me to take heed to myself. Take it to my heart. Help me to be like Joseph, who said, I cannot sin against God. He wasn't looking at Potiphar. He wasn't looking at the wife. His heart relationship with God mattered more to him than Potiphar or the wife. And that's what made God him through. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
new act of love and grace.
Raise your other hand to God.
Among a sweet holy fire,
lay aside.
As we lay aside your earthly desire.
Hands reach out. Let those hands reach out. Can do the work. He is the one who can do the work. When it comes to the heart, the Holy Spirit is a specialist.
We
move amongst us with holy fire. Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Oh my God, I want to thank you for this word that you've brought to me at the beginning of this year. Overcoming dishonesty, unbelief, rebellion, and stubbornness at the heart level. Oh my God, Holy Spirit, I need you. You are the one who convicts, not condemns, but convicts of sin. Oh, search me. Search me. Search my heart. Search me. Show me any dishonesty, unbelief, rebellion, and stubbornness in my heart. Now, help me expunge them. Help me excavate them. Because 2017 is going to be a year of the fullness of your mercy that will cause me to triumph in all things. Oh God, I'm naked before you. I'm honest before you. Men may not know, but between you and I will speak the truth. Help me. Show me. Show me. Show me, Lord. Any disobedience, any dishonesty, any unbelief, any rebellion, any stubbornness in my heart as it concerns your word. Those parts of your word that I don't find convenient. Those parts of your word I don't want to hear. Those parts of your word I want to ignore. Oh God, shine your light. Shine your light. Shine your light. Shine your light. And give me mercy. And give me grace to triumph over judgment. To become a doer and not a hearer. Not to deceive myself. To maintain the true divine standard. Not a human watered down standard, to stay with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray. That's where the Holy Ghost has been given.
Longritoske fredeles. Likronodoske fredengictus. Lera mashalakardo fredes. Zufridia. Yongirotoske fredengis. Lo predica tolomoshanga. Lambrigito fredes. Zefredega. Le predengeri toroshele. Lambrigatolomoshokolo. Zifri nengerikasho. Lambrigatolomotolomotu fredes. Zifridia. Lambrigatolomotolomotolomotolomotu fredeshi. Lambrigatolomotu fres. Zofridila kolomoko. Lambrigatu fres. Lambrigatolomotolomotu fredeshi. Zofres. No fridis, no fridenes, lingaras, lombridilis, gilicaras, tu frines, lingradalas, tu frines, lingaras, jiki tu frines, lombridis, nongaras, tu frides, lingradolos, tu frines. In Jesus' name, touch your bodies. We're just going to make it a very short prayer. I just want to release the healing power of God. You're going to live, you will not die. You are healed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, God wants us to understand. You see, healing is the children's bread. It's children's bread. It's the will of God for us, always. Now, touch that part of your body, just your body, and raise your other hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. I declare, according to the word of God, I say I am healed. Resurrection life and power is flowing in my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, in my heart, my liver, my kidneys, all my internal organs, my blood vessels, in the DNA of every cell in my body, causing them to operate error-free, causing my immune system to operate optimally, error-free. I claim the heritage of Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence I was hewed. The life of God is being made manifest in my mortal flesh, causing me to live and not to die, reversing the dying process in my cells and in my body, in the name of Jesus. Father, I say I am healed. Dokulamatolomatala, Jelekara, Umbrakamatolomatu Fresche, Zofres, Nofridis, Longas, Jeleprodos, Nongrias, Tufrines, Zofres, Angaras, Shiloprodofres, Langrias, Tufrines, Tolomangaras, Tufrines, Jiki Tufrines, Tolomangar Dolores, Tufrides, Nofridis. In Jesus' name. Mommy, come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies. You possess the gates of your enemies. Even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live. You will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation in the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us. Now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, 2017 is a year of honesty and mercy.